piping porridge. Here's to the biscuit tot. Here's to the java flowing like lava out of the coffee pot. Here's to the eggs and bacon. Here's to the waffles unique. And here's three rousing cheers for the best meal of the week. For it's Sunday morning, breakfast time, the time all men adore.
Hi, I'm John Jackson.
And I'm Greg Patent.
And we're the food guys. Greg, we're back to bees. This is a really critical problem that's confronting us. We've visited a couple of times already, but it's time to state something. Around the world, a third of honeybee hives are collapsing every year. That's something that cannot be sustained.
And this has been going on, at least it's been recognized as going on for at least 10 years.
And why is it an important problem?
Because bees pollinate so many of our wonderful plants.
Exactly. It's not about honey. Something like 40% of our agriculture needs these bees in order to survive, really.
And there's no one cause. It's not like you can say, well, it's because of this here that the colonies are collapsing. It's actually many, many, many causes. Could be hundreds of different things that come together and result in what is considered a catastrophe. I mean, it's pesticides, as well as pesticides applied directly into hives to control mites. You have fungal, bacterial, and viral pests and diseases that can also be partly causing the collapse. You have nutritional deficiencies caused by huge acres of single crop fields that lack diverse flowering plants, and the bees need diversity. In the United States, commercial beekeeping disrupts colonies by moving most bees around the country.
Trucking them around.
And they're trucking them to different environments, exposing them to different environmental challenges, different organisms that could be affecting the bees' immune systems, and also stressing the bees in terms of having them working all the time.
Yeah, not only that, you have to remember, bees make honey for themselves. They're not making it for us. But we're stealing their honey all the time. Now, when you're trucking them, you have to feed them. Normally, they eat honey. But are they feeding them on honey?
No.
They're often feeding them on high fructose corn syrup while they truck them. What happens now is that their typical honeybee colony contains residue from more than 120 pesticides.
Right.
Each of those little pesticides by itself
might be all right, a small amount.
But when you get 120 and you're mixing them together, just think of your own little drug cabinet. Now, if you get more than five different medicines that you're taking, the doctor is going to have to sit down with you and say, I don't think you should be taking this or that.
Because of side effects.
It mixes with these other things and produces something which is potentially deleterious, maybe even poisonous. And kill you. Well, but 120?
Yes.
Now you're in trouble. That's 120 different chemicals. Well, many more than 120.
So it's not so much the volume, but the interactions among them. What we really need to understand is the concept of synergy, where one agent has an effect on another agent, and the other agent has an effect on yet another agent. So it's not 1 plus 1 equals 2, but 1 plus 1 equals 3 or 4 or more. And so it's a synergistic effect of all these things that the bees are exposed to that cause all of these problems. And if we apply it to ourselves, as you said, it's like us taking 10, 15 different medications and then the side effects. And then you take something to counteract a side effect, which may have yet another kind of effect. If we can understand how it affects us, this is what the bees are facing.
A big, big part of this problem is the monoculture of large agriculture. We were reading a very interesting article that appeared July 14th, 2014 in the New York Times by Mark Winston. And he was talking about some research they've been doing up in Canada. They found that, for instance, if you had devoted a relatively small part of your acreage, just left it to go essentially wild with a variety of weeds and plants, whatever is in there, you actually can increase the productivity of your acreage.
You have less because you're leaving, say, a third of it or a quarter of it wild. But what you're cultivating is going to be more productive.
More productive. Actually, it would be much more productive, as a matter of fact. Maybe even double what your actual income would likely to be from that acreage. Part of it comes from the fact that the honeybees, not just the ones that are being trucked in, but wild bees and other pollinators are able to actually survive on that tiny little portion of your acreage that you left fallow, and it's extremely helpful. This message has not really had much in the way of legs with industry so far.
I don't know how one addresses this. I mean, what has to happen? What has to happen? Do we have to have regulations now about the pesticides? And, of course, industry is going to balk at this.
Well, when you're in a culture that we are now where any kind of regulation is deplored mightily with immense power.
Well, we have excessive cultivation, we have excessive chemical use, and we have habitat destruction. We have all of this stuff going on. We understand what's happening now. We have to be in a position to try to reverse this.
And I think it's imperative that people generally know that this is an important and pressing problem.
Nature out of balance.
Yeah. Come back next week for the
food. Food Guys. Da 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 da